Ahoy, mateys! Welcome to the AnimeBooey.org Anime Fan Podcast, your twice-monthly port of call for anime recommendations, news bits, and discussion that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. I'm your host for today, First Mate Slatkick, and with me, as always, is Captain Spike.
I'd rather be swimming.
Today is June 25th, 2016, and this is episode 16, Free! Welcome, our lovely and beautiful listeners, to the Anime Buoy Recommendation and Discussion Podcast, where we like to talk about our favorite anime in a hope to open your eyes to some classics that you might have missed and shine a light on some modern shows that maybe aren't getting as much love as they possibly should be.
And this this episode is a great example of that second one.
Yeah. This week we're talking about Free, kind of also originally known on the anime Tumblr fandom as swimming anime.
Or swimming boyfriends.
Swimming boyfriends, that's right. And they definitely are. So let's buckle in and do this thing. But first we have some news. Captain Spike, do you want to get us started here?
I sure do. Our first piece of news here is word that the upcoming 2016 release of Tenku no Escaflowne in North America, Vision of Escaflowne, I should say, that Funimation has done, will be including both the new dub that was kickstarted as well as the original English dub. And as I understand it, you know, they're not just, originally they were doing this release only as bonus DVDs, not even Blu-rays, but bonus DVDs that would come at, like, people who backed it at a certain dollar amount. Now it looks like all of the collector's releases are going to have the old dub and the new dub on Blu-ray properly. And in fact, because all of the new content that was from the recent Japanese release Blu-ray that has like new footage and stuff to the original episodes all fall within the first 7 episodes. So they're just going to do 2 different Blu-rays for those first 7 episodes. One is what they're going to call the uncut version and the other is the broadcast version. And that way the new dub, the uncut version will have the new dub and the broadcast version will have the original dub. And then every other disc from there on will just have both dubs because they have the same video stream.
That's cool.
So yeah, I think it's really cool. You know, I thought it was a little crappy. I wanted the original dub as well. I thought it was a little crappy that only certain versions were going to get it and like not even necessarily on Blu-ray. I thought that was lame. So I'm really happy they were able to strike a balance and really make everyone happy.
Even if that dub is not the best dub, I mean, a lot of what the issue
is... Tell me!
A lot of the issue with Escaflowne is the way that Fox edited it, like, down. Like, in Canada, like, it actually aired pretty...
When we say broadcast and uncut, that we're not talking about the Fox...
Oh, I know, I know. I'm just saying, so okay. I think a lot of people, when they think, oh, the dub was terrible...
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Like, it actually aired in Canada fairly intact. It's just, you know, still not the best dub, but I think for, like, archival purposes, that's great. That, you know, that...
Completely agreed.
This is available, especially if you do not have the original DVD run of it.
And, you know, Funimation also confirmed that all of the previously Japanese exclusive Club Escaflowne extras, which includes like some omake stuff and, you know, like interviewee stuff, will all be present on these discs as well. So it really does seem like they're going to be putting together an archival quality copy release here.
Oh man, I'm so glad to see this somewhat underappreciated gem, you know, get the release it deserves.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah, me too. We also have word here that Studio Trigger has announced, and this was a very fresh announcement, this was literally just yesterday, Studio Trigger is going to be adapting the hit shoujo Little Witch Academia. And this is really awesome because it's actually going to be done by Yo Yoshinari, and you're probably familiar with Yoshinari-san's work on Gurren Lagann and Kill la Kill. So he'll be directing this this new TV series. So, you know, that's super exciting to me. There was previously the 30-minute short that was done, and there was a hour-long sequel anime that was done via Kickstarter. This was like largely like a fan-made labor of love. It's now hitting the big times with a TV series by Studio Trigger. This is going to be fantastic.
Yeah, and it's described as kind of being like a Hogwarts-like thing. And there's a little witch who, you know, she idolizes like a really popular witch or something. So I'm sure it's going to be really cute. So yeah, for those of you who are into cute magical things, but also, you know, knowing Trigger, it's going to probably be, you know, very, a lot of fun.
Oh, absolutely. I cannot wait to see how they present this material because presentation is where they are a Viking.
Indeed. So with that, I guess it's time for us to get on to our presentation, or our discussion rather, with Free. So, Captain Spike, do you want to tell us a little bit about what Free is and kind of how it came to be?
Sure. It's about swimming, and it's super gay.
All right.
So I'll do a little more, but that is, for the purposes of our listeners, that's what it is.
Yeah, we wanted to kick off, you know, the official start of summer with something very summery.
Right, and, you know, with, Pride weekend this weekend, I also wanted to do something that had, like, sort of some gay elements. And Free, you know, please don't let me mislead you. Free is not actually gay per se.
It's not actually shonen-ai.
But, you know, we say it's not actually shonen-ai, but it actually, in the way it's framed, in the way that a lot of the character relationships work, we actually do see a lot of shonen-ai tropes come up. A lot of the ways that, like, things are phrased and the way that, like, heartfelt conversations are done, even though they're between males, the scenes are actually framed in ways that are more mm-hmm. typical of romance anime. So, you know,
it's
there's
very fan-service-y.
Like, a lot of, like, two people very close together, looking like they're about to kiss, leaned up against a chain link fence, you know, the one in the more like submissive positioning is like back to the fence with like both hands like gripping the chains. The other one is like hands at shoulder level, like pinning them in as they talk deeply and intensely, staring into each other's eyes. It is not actually gay, but it is super gay. It's Free is set in the town of Iwatobi, which is actually based on a real town in Japan. And that town actually did use Free to promote tourism in the town, which I thought was really cute. It's basically about four boys. You know, they're good friends. They were like competitive swimmers doing tournaments. One parted ways. Years later, a couple of them reunite and reform the swim club, like their little swim club or whatever, in their high school as like a real club. They start competing, and it's, you know, almost at that point takes on like a shonen sports feeling,
right,
where, you know, there's like these really dynamic like swimming competitions, and they get very like almost like less something like Prince of Tennis and more something like Hikaru no Go, where even though you're doing something that is maybe not edge of your seat excitement OMG, watching it feels that way. The way they frame it and commentate it, you end up getting really sucked into the hype of like these swimming competitions. It's actually really cool.
Well said. Yeah, it originally got its start as a light novel written by Koji Oji.
It's 2016. What didn't?
And so what was interesting about this is that the original light novel was called High Speed, and it actually takes place when they were kids, so kind of, you know, it's almost like a prequel in a lot of ways to this.
Well, and they actually did a high-speed movie that
they
sort of sell as, like, Free, the starting days.
Yeah, just last winter.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this was an award-winning light novel in the Kyoto Animation Award Contest in 2011. And when they, you know, started airing Free Iwatobi Swim Club, which is the first season, in July of 2013.
And all that we're going to be talking about here today, I want to clarify.
Right. So when they were airing the first season, they officially published that. So you might be wondering why we're specifically talking, why I'm specifically referring to Iwatobi Swim Club. And because for those of you who are familiar or heard a little bit about it, probably a lot of what you're seeing, especially on the streaming services, is Free Eternal Summer. And that's actually the second season. I'm sure we will talk about that at one point, but we wanted to get you started because, you know, this is really where the foundation of the story is. And so, as mentioned, it aired between July and September 2013. It was one of the, definitely on, like, you know, social media and stuff, one of the breakout hits.
Oh, everyone was talking about swimming boyfriends.
Yeah, on for that season, summer season of anime. So this was originally on
Tokyo MX?
Yeah, it was just, I guess it shows a lot of stations so that it's aired on since then. So yes, it was originally on Tokyo MX station, and it was getting a simulcast on Crunchyroll, so that was...
Yeah, it was actually a big deal, and in fact, Crunchyroll is one of the few services right now that still has both seasons up.
Indeed.
And that's largely because the first season was licensed by Discotech Media for North American release. The second season was actually licensed by Funimation. So you can find the second season on Funimation streaming. You can find it on Hulu. As far as I know, though, the first season is only on Crunchyroll as far as North American streaming sites go. Legitimately, anyway.
If you don't care about the story and you literally just want to watch
swimming
boyfriends in their Speedos with like water dripping off their abs and stuff, and just watch the swimming and the abs and stuff, like, by all means, you can start with Eternal Summer. But if you're interested in like getting to know the characters and their relationships and their history, starting with the first season, which, you know, we're shorthand calling it Free, but it's technically Free Iwatobi Sim Club, is the best place to start. So we've just talked about another slice of life anime that in a lot of ways was more than a slice of life, but in some ways was very much a slice of life. We just talked about FLCL,
which we'll be talking about again soon. Look forward to it.
But on the other hand, it also is very much a sports anime. So, Captain Spike, how would you compare these to other examples of slice of life in sports anime? I know you talked a little bit about how it's not really like a Prince of Tennis thing.
Well, and the reason I say that is, you know, Tennisu no Ojisama is very over the top. Like, you have people doing like these complex super moves that it, like, the show like likens to like summoning the power of the universe, planet destroying overhead smash.
So you would say
Prince
of Tennis is almost more like a Dragon Ball Z inspired, like, sort of
practically
action.
Yeah, practically. It's practically an internet meme how crazy Prince of Tennis gets as it goes on. So what I really like about Free, though, and is sort of the genre and tone and how it compares to other slice of life sports anime, because there's a lot more of like a dramatic focus, but it's also not like life and death drama. It's just it's very authentic in that, you know, it sort of speaks to those lazy summer days when you're in high school and like you're trying to get your friends all on a team to do something, and, you know, like some of them are trying really hard but they're just not where they need to be. Some of them are trying not very hard and like they have the talent, and if they focused it, you know, they could do really well. And to me, I really like that it has this focus on these inner character, interpersonal like dynamics, and I really like that it is more slice of lifey than a lot of other sports anime I've watched.
Right.
Stuff like Ace of Diamond, where the entire show is about the baseball. Whereas with Free, you know, we also get some focus on how the characters interrelate and, you know, their individual personalities sort of have an impact on how they do. And I actually think that it's fairly unique in that regard.
Yeah. And the thing that's interesting is that there's definitely drama, but then the drama kind of comes back to, like, you know, the swimming and...
It's not life or death drama. It's not, oh my God, if we can't win this game, I'll lose my house and I'll die or whatever. Mm-hmm.
And
it's
like,
just
a
like...
A lot of the, especially this first, you know, season, the original run of Free kind of centers around, you know, and there's four main boys and then kind of like a rival, definitely a different rivalry.
Well, and that's what sort of informs a lot of the character dynamics is that rivalry with the other other swimmer.
But
that because that's the stakes. The stakes are not world-ending ZOMG. The stakes are I really want to beat my rival, and I find that very relatable. A lot more relatable than a lot of other sports anime.
And then a lot of the kind of conflict comes from who's arguably the main character, Haruka, who. They call him Haru-chan because Haruka is typically a girl's name, and they even like so they joke about that. He's like, ugh. And so he only wants to swim freestyle, and like he just wants to like swim in the ocean, and so that's kind of a point of conflict too. And but I mean, it plays out really interestingly, and especially like the rivalry. And the thing I really like is that you talked about these moments that are framed very much in a shonen-ai romance sort of way. I love that they don't like just pop up with like, oh, this character has a love interest now. Like it basically like if you want to ship them, it like basically lets you ship them and doesn't deflate your ship. It doesn't sink your ship.
That's awesome. Do you want me to talk about what I like and didn't like?
Yeah, I'll let you go first with that.
So I actually really like basically everything once the story gets going. I love that it's like very gay. It's presented in a very campy way. It has a light touch with its sense of humor. It's not like overbearing and like when it's trying to be funny. But what I didn't like is that the pace when it starts is very slow and uninteresting to me. I tried to watch Free several times before I finally successfully connected with it. And that's because I had never made it up to episode 4 up until just watching it for this show when Slaggy was like, I want to do an episode on Free, can we? And then I got past episode 4 and it was like, I liked episode 4 a lot. I'm finally into this. But once I got into it, I thought it was really good. And I guess that's my warning for you is if you watch the first episode or two and you're not into it, just stick through it. It, it will get a lot better quickly.
Yeah, I mean, because they have to establish, like, oh, there's no swim club at the school, and they have to, like, clean out the pool. There's, like, a whole episode about cleaning out the pool, and, like, if you don't know, like, what...
One of them has a delicate constitution, and now he's sick. Cool plot point, bro.
Yeah, but then the boyfriendo took care of him and, like, nursed him back to the health, so... this made me, like, really want to look into more sports anime in terms of, like, what I liked. I thought the swimming scenes were, like, really exciting. It's like, with the Summer Olympics coming up, like, now I'm like, I really want to watch Olympic swimming now. I'll probably be a little bit let down. I'm like, oh, you know, it's not, like, watching free, but, it made me interested in more sports anime, which is something I didn't think I would be interested in. And, you know, what I really love is that, you know, it plays with those, romance tropes, and it really flips it on its head, you know, because when we think of fan service, we usually think of, you know, big titty, you know, or like, oh, panty shot, but this is like fan service, like, you know, there'll be close-ups of the guys, like, lean muscular bodies, you know, and I really think that it's
showing off like how they look in their speedo.
Exactly. I think it's really playfully done. There's a character, and she ends up actually being the swim club's manager, and I'm not going to go into too much spoilers, but that character's Go, and she is like super obsessed with like guys' muscles, and so she'll basically like, she, you know, she wants the team to do well, and you know, she actually like, you know, gives them a training regime, and she really believes in them, but then anytime they're at like a swim meet, she's like, oh, look at the muscles, they're so perfectly, you know, sculpted like Greek gods, like, and like I find that refreshing, that, you know, for once it's the male characters that are objectified, and, you know, definitely for, you know, queer audiences, you know, gives us a chance to be like, ooh, hey, swimming boyfriends, because, you know, it kind of like goes back to, you know, I'm sure that you, Captain Spike, I know me for sure, you know, be like, oh, the football team is practicing, hey, you know, back to in high school when you're kind
of... Oh, yeah, back in high school, for sure.
Back in high... Oh, yes, that's what I meant, you know, because this is a high school anime, but, you know, kind of back when you were in high school, if you were a girl or a queer guy, you know, kind of like being like, ooh, look at the swim team, you know, it's kind of gives that sort of, same sort of, you know, feel for it, so there wasn't much that I didn't like. I mean, I would agree with you, the first couple episodes, pacing-wise, it starts off a little slow, but I mean, I was in it for like the gayness, and it definitely delivered.
Awesome.
So as we do here on Anime Buoy, we're going to talk about the key figures in the production of it. The director of Free was Hiroko Utsumi-san, and you probably might recognize Utsugi-san from the Clannad series, also both seasons of Free, the K-On! Movie and TV shows, Love Chunibyo and Other Delusions.
Key animation work on Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya.
Which I can't believe that's already 10 years old. Like, what?
Right? Animation director and key animation on the upcoming Yu-Gi-Oh! Movie. So some really good, really solid credits there. A lot of episode direction work on Nichijou, too. And, you know, we've actually talked about Nichijou a little bit. Really funny, absurd slice of life series that we'll probably talk about here on the show at some point.
Yeah. The writing was done by Masahiro Yokotani-san, and he has a really interesting background. He did some of the early 2000s kaiju films, so he like did Godzilla, Mothra, and King Ghidorah, giant monsters.
King Ghidorah?
Ghidorah, giant monsters all out attack. Godzilla, Tokyo SOS. What you've probably heard of that you'd be most familiar with is The Devil is a Part-Timer, which, you know, is very well received. I don't know if it was a summer anime, but it aired in the same year, 2013, as Free.
Is that your way of suggesting that you don't think our listeners would be familiar with Keroro Gunso, the Super Movie 3, or also known as Sergeant Frog? Because he did writing work on both the Sergeant Frog TV series as well as some of the movies. So, you know, those were really big in the early 2000s. Also Beelzebub, which Beelzebub was actually really big for a minute.
I thought it was Beelzebub.
It probably is, but LOL pronunciation.
All right. The music was composed by Tatsuya Kato-san, who's worked on a lot of stuff over the past 10 years. Kind of a little bit newer gentleman to the anime scene, but...
And yet has made tremendous investment into his scores.
Demon King Daimao, Now is one that you probably are familiar with.
Needless, of course, was huge back then. Phantom Requiem for the Phantom.
Yeah, I have to admit a lot of these are ones that I'm not familiar with, but, you know, very prolific, in, especially in the past couple of years, like the past 7 or 8 years.
Yeah, including the disappearance of Nagato Yuki-chan, which is, you know, very cool. It's a spinoff of Haruhi Suzumiya. It was done as a TV series along with the OVA back in 2015. So, you know, very cool stuff.
Indeed. Character design was done by Futoshi Nishiya-san, and Nishiya-san has been involved in a lot of stuff. Similar to the director Utsumi-san, involved in the Clannad works, the K-On! Works, but also Lucky Star, also Haruhi, Full Metal Panic, Fumofu.
Yeah, Fumofu.
In the second raid, doing some key animation. Also love Chunibyo and other delusions.
I love that you haven't just gone to the obvious one, which is pointing out key animation work on Inuyasha.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point. And speaking of animation, this studio that animated it was Kyoto Animation Company Limited, maybe better known as KyoAni. And they've been involved with a lot of stuff that we talked about in the creative director, the creative team's works. Full Metal Panic Fumofu was the first one that I know of theirs. Full Metal Panic
Air was
raid.
A big deal at the time.
Air, Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya,
Canon,
Lucky Star, Clannad K-On!, Love Chunibyo. I can't ever say that. Another Delusions. Both seasons of Free
Beyond the Boundary.
Most recently, you might be most familiar with Myriad Colors Phantom World.
Yeah,
which just aired this winter. So, you know, definitely a little bit newer as far as I am familiar with them, but, you know, a lot of really well-known works.
Absolutely.
So, really quickly, I mean, this doesn't have, like, I wouldn't say that this has, like, as much academically going on as something like FLCL does, but really briefly, what are some of the themes of Free that you kind of see?
Well, you know, it really speaks to sort of the ideals of growing up, which obviously it's a high school slice of life. How could it not?
Yeah, very coming of age.
You know, about the values, a lot of focuses on like values of like teamwork and determination and working hard. Also a lot of focus on like the interpersonal relationships of like teen boys of a school going age. So, you know, there's a lot of really interesting stuff going on. A lot of like sort of the importance of having rivals, the importance of having like goals to achieve. So, I mean, there's not so much going on like a deep literary level, but there's still a lot to take home with.
Yeah,
Free.
You perfectly said. I don't think I could add anything to it. What moment stuck with you?
Episode 4, which is the episode that really sold me, has an amazing sequence where they're all shopping for Speedos. And that was where it finally clicked for me. Like, okay, no, I'm finally really enjoying
and
this.
And I told you, like, that
you
is...
You did.
That is definitely fan service-y. You know, there's an episode that is really... So there's an episode... So it's actually the episode after the Speedo episode, you know, there, which gets very serious. They go to an island to do some training, and Makoto, who is Haru-chan's best friend and like kind of the one that they like most romantically like suggest things with, you kind of learn about something about his past. It's like, so it's like really kind of like serious and drama, but not like, you know, not like world ending drama, but, you know, it's very serious, and you kind of get an appreciation for his character and the reason he reacts to certain situations in the way he does. I definitely loved the Speedo shopping episode, but I also, one of the things I really love is the way that Haru and Rin, like, just that the rivalry develops, like, you know, and without spoiling what it ends up establishing for Eternal Summer, like, I really liked where their character arcs went.
Oh, that's awesome. I haven't actually watched Eternal Summer yet, so I can't wait to start that, which I would not have expected to be saying just a little while ago.
Yeah, I'm glad. So we already talked about, you know, the music in terms of the score and, like, you know, the composing. And, you know, I would say, you know, it's, there wasn't anything like, you know, like a memorable motif that I could really remember. But I mean, the music was pleasant enough. Like, it wasn't like, oh, you know, annoying or anything. Do you, since you've seen it a little more recently, do you have anything?
Not so much. Musically was sort of the one thing about it that sort of let me down a little. It's not bad, but it's not particularly memorable. Great opening and closing, but otherwise, like, the actual score, I was not super impressed by.
Yeah, and with that, the opening is done by the J-rock band Old Coldex, and so if you're not familiar with them, they're kind of like, you know, very hard rock. Like, I would almost like liken them to like almost like a Linkin Park sort of thing. But don't, if you're not a Linkin Park fan, don't let that turn you off.
Because it's still J-rock.
Old Coldex is great. They also did the opening for Eternal Summer as well. Yeah, and some great ending themes. And, you know, the opening credits also, you know, just have a lot of fan service. So, yeah, I would say that especially the opening music definitely makes up for, you know, the score being a little bit eh. And it's one of those things where, you know, like, even with, you know, great anime, I'll be like, okay, sometimes I just want to watch the episode. I'll skip past the opening credits. Like, I would, like, always, like, watch through the full credits to, like, rock out to that song.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, with that, we already talked about this a little bit earlier. The best place to watch this is Crunchyroll. You know, it did air simultaneously. It was simulcast back in 2013, but you can watch it, rather, on Crunchyroll. And then if you like it, I mean, both seasons are on Crunchy, but if you prefer to watch it on Hulu or Funimation, you know, but we're not really talking about season two right now. So, best place we'd recommend that is Crunchyroll.
Absolutely.
So with that, do you have any final thoughts about Free?
Just, you know, if you're trying to get into it and you can't, give it a little more time. It does get better.
That's excellent. And I think my final thoughts would be, I wish that there was a third season. I still need to check out the movie, even though it's like, you know, even though their elementary school adventures are less interesting for me. Like, I still want to see it, but I really like the characters. I'm really invested in them, and I guess they'll have to just continue their journeys in fan fiction.
Well, hey, this isn't the old days. In the modern anime industry, like, you never have to give up hope for a new season.
Pretty
we have
much.
A new season of Berserk starting next week. Come on now.
That's true. So, speaking of watching anime,
I said, hey, what's going on?
What you watching?
I have mostly been watching just like Dragon Ball Super and whatever I'm watching for this show. So this week it's Free. I watched an episode of FLCL again to take some notes for a future conversation we plan
on
having. But that's kind of all. I haven't been watching a whole lot of new stuff. I'm really eagerly awaiting the new season to start. There's some stuff there I really, really want to see. Stuff like I super want to see Berserk, of course.
Yeah.
You know, there's one called New Game coming that I want to see. Sai Kyuso no Sainan looks pretty good. So, you know, there's some stuff coming up that I'm really looking forward to. I think there's like a male cheerleader show coming up called Cheer Boys that I'd like to see.
Oh my gosh.
I think I heard they're doing a new Cute High Earth Defense
yes.
Club series starting
I
just
think
a week or two ago.
Cute High Earth Defense Club, love, love.
Yeah, so there's stuff coming up I'm really looking forward to. It's just right now I'm mainly focusing on Dragon
yeah.
Ball Super and what we're watching for this show.
You know, as we said over on GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
It's been a really busy month, so yeah, I've got similar for me. I rewatched a couple episodes of Free to prepare for this discussion. I wish I had been able to rewatch all of it because, you know, I really enjoy it, but mostly just trying to keep up on Dragon Ball Super, as you mentioned. The current arc is, like, really OMG, you know, so looking forward to seeing how that plays out. And also, I'm just one episode behind at the moment. I was out of town, but keeping up on Sailor Moon Crystal, you know, at this point, the arc's wrapping up, and I'm really hoping that, you know, I'm hoping that we get more, because I thought that this season was supposed to be another 26 episodes, but I mean, I could have been mistaken, and apparently it's all supposed to be about, like, you know, the Infinity arc. So, like, I'm like kind of like, are they gonna go into, you know, the Dream arc next? So I haven't been able to find a really definitive answer on that, but to be fair, I haven't been really like looking at the news, but it's so good.
Awesome.
You know, even plays out, you know, even though knowing how it's gonna kind of play out, because, you know, knowing what the original anime story told and knowing what the manga does, you know, it's still, you know, so good. The only thing I have to say is that, like, they finally, like, you know, anime changes the opening closing themes quite often, especially closing themes. And so this season has had, like, a bunch of different closing themes. There was a period of them where, where the episodes were starting to get really dark. Then the closing credits were about Chibi Usa, and it was a very cutesy song. And, like, on its own, I'd be like, it's really, really cute ending theme, but tonally so inappropriate, because it'd be like, oh my god, someone might be dead. And then it's like, super cute Chibi Usa. I'm like, what? But, yeah, just really, 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 really good. And, I mean, for those who did have problems with the animation in seasons 1 and 2, I mean, you know, really, the transformation sequences are beautiful. They're hand animated, and, like, you know, there's not weird, you know, character arc, you know, not character arcs, weird frames where, like, you know, the character's eyes are too big, you know, so the animation is a lot more consistent, because, you know, it's actually airing on TV, I believe, this time. It's not just a Nico Nico web series.
Indeed, although I think that's been true for a little while.
Yeah, so that's what I've been watching, and I guess, like you, I'm also looking forward to seeing what the next season of anime is going to bring.
Excellent, yeah, absolutely.
So with that, it's time to go over to our social links, where we asked, this week we're beating the summer heat by diving into Free. Have you watched the swimming anime that was a social media sensation? And we got a response from Emiru69 saying, I watched and loved the show. The characters were charming and kind, and the beautiful animation increased my immersion. That's true. Like, even though there's, like, some, you know, a little bit of squabbles between some of the characters, like, they're very kind. Like there's, it's very, like, overall loving relationship that the boys have.
Absolutely.
And just really quickly getting caught up on some tweets. We had a tweet from someone named Spike Point saying, just wrapped up a great episode of AnimeBooey.org with at Edward Wong 4 as guest talking about FLCL. Can't wait to get it edited and posted.
You nerd.
Well, it's because it was a conversation. Punk Rock Babob says, where and how do I download this? And your answer is AnimeBooey.org.
AnimeBooey.org.
Edward Wong 4 saying, had such an incredible time recording AnimeBooey.org with lovely and welcoming gents, Spike Point and Sidekick. I had such a blast. Hashtag lovelies. Oh, you're the hashtag loveliest. So thank you. We were honored to have you on there and what you contributed to our episode.
Yeah, absolutely.
Retro Code saying, I should have asked a question about that show because it was one of the weirdest anime I've seen. Indeed. Gynax does weird good. Your Enzyme saying, woohoo, I've watched FLCL, so nothing to be spoiled. We have a tweet from California Wolf said, lies, you guys allowed Overwatch to take over your lives. That's not necessarily true. More for Hatspike than me. We got a shout out for Edwin Wong, so thank you to that for retweeting us to the followers. And I had been talking to Twitter user Cure de Aracho, who we'd been talking about Wolf Children, and she said, I had my mom over to watch it, and she cried. Yeah, it's so sweet.
Aww.
Then we have a tweet from the Twitter user who I was for a long time saying Borbacon, but I realized it's Twitter user Borbacon, saying, FLCL is so important, you guys. Would you consider... What? What?
Borbacon!
I was like... I don't know. I thought it was like a Barbarella sort of thing, like Borbacon. Or like, you remember the modeling agency Barbizon? Was that just a Bay Area thing? Like,
I remember Barbizon.
You can be a Barbizon model, a Borbacon model.
No joke. Someone from Barbizon once came to talk at my school.
Wow. We'll have to have that conversation after this airs.
Show.
So FLCL is so important, you guys. Would you consider a spoiler cast version as well? And so Edward Wong Four says, I would be down, but I'm down to talk all things needed anytime. Rain, sleet, snow, dark of night, etc. What say y'all?
Yep, and I, I reached out to Edward Wong to confirm that was a legitimate offer. It in fact was, so I'm very happy to announce that we will have that coming down the pipeline, I would think in the next month.
Yeah, and Borbacon says, I was just posing the question, I didn't mean to call a vote, however, I'd be jazzed. But, you know, we love your feedback.
We do, we love your feedback.
And we like your iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Google Play subscriptions, ratings, and reviews.
We like your Facebook likes, and we effing love Twitter. You can, of course, email us over at mail@animebooey.org.
Mailbooey@animebooey.org. Mailbooey@animebooey.org.
And, of course, you can always check us out on our home base over at animebooey.org.
That you can. And we wanted to give you some shout-outs. First of all, where's our mothership?
Our mothership can be found over at GameBuoy.org, where
GameBuoy.org.
We are your twice-monthly port of call for gaming news and views that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. We are also broadcast on the Voice of Geeks Network over at VogNetwork.com. On the VogNetwork.com, and if you're interested in anime, Buoy, you might be interested in this, you can also hear myself and Shane Olenko talking about the current season of the Power Rangers meta series and the current season of the Super Sentai series upon which it's based over on Ranger Pridecast. Slaggy, I believe you also have some shout outs. Why don't you take us a place?
I'm going to take you to the library because reading is what? Fundamental.
Kind of dull.
Reading is Fundamental is the podcast where we serve tea and dish on everything Drag Race, hunty. We talk about the currently airing season of RuPaul's Drag Race, the reality show competition about drag queens. Captain Spike is very, very catty on that show.
Oh, yeah, super.
So that's where the claws come out. We're currently off season, but in just about 2 months, actually, the All Stars 2 season will be airing. So please look forward to that. I'd also like to shout out to the currently on hiatus Tables, Ladders, and Podcasts podcast, which is a professional wrestling podcast for the common man. And Edward Wong 4, also known as David, has the Podyukin Comics Cosplay and Cons podcast, the Podyukin CCP. So check that out over at podyukincp.podbean.com. And with that, we appreciate your listenership. Thank you for joining us on this lovely, beautiful day.
Thank you.
We wouldn't be able to do this without you. So until then, keep watching.
Keep watching.
Keep thinking.
Keep thinking.
And I only swim free.
Do you even know how to swim?
Yes.
Mics are hot.
Hot mics, hot mics. Get your hot mics here. Get your magic mics.
The Twitter user who I was for a long time saying Borbacon, but I realized it's Twitter user Borbacon, saying FLCL is so important. would you consider... What? What?
Borbacon!
I was like...